Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that shocks and jolts. Your word that comforts and soothes. And we pray, O Lord, that we may hear both sides of it. That we might hear the truth that you have for us. That we might know that through it, you speak to us, you are with us. That we might know that we are your beloved and you care about us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A woman from the Back Mountains of Tennessee found herself one day in a large city standing in front of an elevator. This is the first time she'd ever been in a city and seen an elevator. And she was as an old haggled man hobbled on and the doors closed. And then after a few minutes, the doors opened and a young handsome man marched smartly off. And the mother hollered to her younger son, "Billy, go get your paw." Sometimes change is nice. When we see our fortunes change for the better, or when we see that there's a possibility, a strong possibility, of things changing for the better. But let's admit, there's a lot of times that we don't like change because we're being asked to change something that we're comfortable with already. I'm thinking of the way we do things, the way we like things. When change is uncertain in terms of results, we are loath to change. I found it very interesting. The other night I was watching TV, and there's a new show called Beyond the Tank. Now, I don't know if some of you are probably familiar with the movie, the TV show Shark Tank. Well, this is kind of the next installment. And in Beyond the Tank, they show the behind-the-scenes workings of some of the sharks with the people that they've decided on the show to invest with in some of the meetings that they've had afterwards. Excuse me. And in this one particular vignette on last Friday night's show, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, had invested in a couple who was selling a clothesline of cheaper clothes online. I believe it was called the Red Dress Boutique. And they had worked with a computer platform from the beginning. They had worked with it, and they had done a good job building up their business. And now they kind of wanted to take it to the next step. But that computer platform had difficulty keeping up with the demand. And yet it was doing it, but it took a lot of work on their part. And they wanted to install a new platform. They felt they would be better able to keep up with their demands and it would give them room to expand. Well, Mark was adamant that they should continue to work with the old system. Because, he said, the risk of the new system of crashing would be too great, not to mention the fact that it might take 6 months to get this new platform up and they would lose a lot of the business that they'd already generated. And so they might lose their business and, of course, he would lose his investment. But they made the decision, though, to go ahead and change it. They had 90% of the business. He had 10. And he was not happy because he was afraid of that change. Well, today we hear about change in our Acts passage. I want to give you a sense of what's happened prior to this story because we're only hearing the end of the story. The Reverend Pendleton Peary of the First Presbyterian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, in a sermon, shares what happened before this in a nutshell. And I like the way he does it, so I'm going to use his words. Cornelius, a spiritual but not religious Gentile living in Caesarea, of some importance in the Roman Legion, and a member of the Italian cohort, Cornelius had a vision. It was a clear vision. To send for an apostle of Jesus named Peter. Peter, a devout and faithful Jew and an ardent follower of Jesus Christ, Peter had a vision too. Peter was in Joppa praying on the roof of a friend's house, and he was hungry. While the food was being prepared, he fell into a trance and saw a sheet being lowered by the four corners from the heavens, filled with all the foods that good Jews were not allowed to touch, much less eat. There was a voice that said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter's response was, "By no means, Lord. You know I can't eat what is profane and unclean." Then there was a counter response. "What God has made, you must not call profane." Now, it happened twice more in this vision. The same thing, the sheep coming down. And then, before Peter could make heads or tails out of the vision, the sheet was snatched up into heaven, and Cornelius' men were knocking at the door to take Peter on a trek from Joppa to Caesarea. The Holy Spirit said, "Go." So Peter went. Arriving at the Gentile house, he realized that Cornelius was having a genuine experience of God. So he started preaching to explain some things about this God who was giving Cornelius visions. But before Peter could finish his sermon, the Holy Spirit short-circuited the whole usual order of things and poured through the room, and all of a sudden, the footprint of the church got a lot bigger. In one instant, the church went from being only for the Jews to being for all people. Now, Peter, I'm sure, was shocked when Cornelius started receiving this spirit, when he realized that God did not care just for the Jews, as he had believed all of his life, but God was also for the Gentiles. In other words, everyone else. God was a God for all people. As Peary says in his sermon, suddenly the footprint of the church became a lot bigger. However, Peter, who has gone through mountains of change in 3 short years with Jesus, who has seen what he believed in about God turned upside down with the ministry of Jesus, with Jesus' death and resurrection, now has his ideas about God and what God wants turned upside down again. I can imagine him saying, "Oh, geez, another change? It's so tiring." We like it when things stay the same because it's easier for us. We don't have to think too much. It doesn't ask a lot of us. But when a big change happens, we have to rethink everything. And in this context, I've been reflecting on the Baltimore riots. Those of us who lived through the 1960s and 70s hope we would never have to live through times like those again, with cities like Newark, Los Angeles, and many others exploding in anger. I remember when I was in high school, I believe it was my senior year, we were told to stay in our rooms one morning because a small riot had broken out in the main hallway of the high school. People were hitting each other with chains. And so today we thought, we've come a long way. Look, we've elected a black president. But then in Baltimore, we realized maybe we haven't come as far as we thought we had. With the rise in deaths of unarmed blacks by cops and the riots, we are being told that the change from the 60s has not happened as much as we thought. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Riots are the language of the unheard." Another way to put it was that people do not change those who are most affected. That when people do not change, those who are most affected by that in the end will resort to violence. because they feel that that is the only way that people will listen to them and make what they see are the necessary changes. We might say that what Peter is going through in our scripture reading today is nothing like the Baltimore riots. And you know, in many ways, you're right. But I think we forget how big of a change it was. Peter was an ardent Jew, and now Gentiles are considered that they can be a part of the church as well. Well, after this encounter that he had with Cornelius, Peter had a major public relations problem on his hands. Because there were a lot of people in the early church at that time who were saying, oh, it's just for the Jews. We're just reforming the Jewish church here. And Peter had to go back to Jerusalem and say, hey, come on. They received the Holy Spirit. How could we not say that God cares about them and they could be a part of the church? I think about that today too in relation to today being not only Mother's Day, but also the beginning of the festival of the Christian home. And I'm mindful that a good home is where family are supported through changes in their lives. As children grow up, they go through monumental changes. And what they know, what they can do, what they are responsible for. Good mothers and fathers are the ones who can help their children to learn to adapt to those changes. In my own life, I found that in both of my parents. But I have to say that my mother was the one that, when I was going through things in my life, if I shared with you before, I would come home and while she was making dinner or something, I'd sit at the kitchen counter and we would just talk about what was happening. And it was so helpful. But it was our gatherings at the dinner table where we talked about what was happening in our lives. That was where my brother and I had a voice. But generally, Dad would teach us, and we would have fun with Dad. But with Dad outside the dinner table a lot of times, it was, now listen. But at the dinner table, my brother and I had a voice. Because we all sat down and had dinner together. And we listened to each other. We talked to each other. We were not watching television. That was in another room. We talked through the changes in our lives. You know, last week I talked about the need for more conversation rather than dialogue as we look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Conversation, I said, is where we listen to each other and talk with each other and just love and care for each other. Dialogue is where we or someone else is trying to get a point across to us. Today, we see the need for conversation. Because we all experience differences and changes in our lives. We all go through different things in our journeys. That we need to talk about them with others so that they know where we are and we know where they are. And we can get through these challenges. Even in the church, that is so true. The Spirit challenges us to see each other and what is happening in the world around us in a new light. Just as Peter was challenged to see things differently. The Spirit challenged Peter to see the church in a bigger way than he and others had before the vision. One of my favorite songs in Handel's Messiah is that wonderful chorus, "The sound is gone out," which is based upon Romans chapter 10, verse 18. The reason I like that chorus so much is because it builds. It builds a rolling wall of sound. Don't cringe at this. "The sound is gone out," and each section picks it up. And that sound just keeps building. And I love that feeling. My hair almost stands on end whenever we say that, sing that in the Messiah. It's about the spread of the gospel into all lands. Well, today we heard about the big change that caused the gospel to leap from the confines of the Palestinian Jews and to begin to spread through the world through the Gentiles. Which, again, as I said, in Judaism is the whole world. Jews and Gentiles, that's it, that's everybody. One writer has said that the church today is facing a tsunami of change. And we are. Change in how we be the church, change in what we believe as the church. And we must be adaptive in that change so that the sound may continue to go out into the world. We must be adaptive in how we share the message and who we share the message with. Mark Miller. Deborah's smiling because she knows him too. A very respected, nationally respected church musician and composer. Wrote a wonderful hymn entitled, Draw the Circle Wide. It could be the hymn of our Acts passage. But it's definitely a hymn for change. As we are called to consider others' lives and ministry. And I believe you sang this in church once, didn't you, Deborah?
Not this one.
It was another one. Okay. The chorus goes, draw the circle wide, draw it wider still. Let this be our song. No one stands alone, standing side by side. Draw the circle wide. And then the verse is, God, the still point of the circle, round whom all creation turns, nothing lost but held forever in God's gracious arms. Let our hearts touch far horizons, so encompass great and small. Let our loving know no borders, faithful to God's call. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamed before. Let the dream of Christ be in us, open every door. May the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, open every door. That's the language of change. That's the language that we must be open to. May the door open, and may the sound go out. Amen.